May only his word be spoken, only his word heard.
Amen.
Is Jesus your friend from our gospel lesson today? When I arrived at the seminary to begin my training to be a pastor, you go 4 years before that to college, right? When I arrived there, I was somewhat of an outsider. I'll explain why. A great deal of my class of 110 men, had been together for years. They'd come through a system, they called it, of schools preparing them to be pastor. They had spent the 2 years prior to coming to the seminary at what they called the senior college, and they had formed friendships and close relationships, and some of them had no room for any more. So there was a fellow student who also was an outsider. His name was Paul. Like me, he hadn't attended the senior college. He didn't know a lot of the guys. And after some time, when we were there, my first year, this Paul came up to me, and he just pointed like this. He said, "You're going to be my friend." Well, we were so incredibly different. Now, we both had a love for Jesus, but after that, we didn't jive. We didn't come together. I remember telling Paul that friendship didn't work that way. You know what? He never quit. He didn't accept that. We were going to be friends, and that was that, all right? And not only that, after I got married, my wife and his wife would be friends. And that was decided by him, not by me. Actually, in time, this Paul was going to teach me a lesson about friendship. But not at that time. Not at that time. The truth is, I wanted friends. And I'm convinced everybody does want friends. You may know some man, and it won't be a woman, it'll be a man who says, "I don't have any friends, and I don't need any friends." And they will be absolutely wrong. They were absolutely wrong. Because God has put in us a need for friends. In fact, we will not have enough friends for our heart's needs. I'm also convinced that we're looking for the ideal friend. This in spite of the fact that each and every one of us are not an ideal friend ourselves. In fact, we have lots of problems, a lot of things that are wrong about us. But this, too, is a God-designed dilemma. He has put in us this desire to have an ideal friend, even though we're not ideal friends. So the theme of my message this morning is Jesus is sending you a friend request. Now, I know that's a Facebook thing. Just get over that. Jesus is sending you a friend invitation. And also, Jesus is totally redefining what it means to be a friend. Totally redefining it. Now, Jesus spoke of friendship in the Scripture, like in our Scripture today, right? But if you read on in the New Testament, in the Gospels, you find that Jesus had some special friends. He was friends with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Now, if you don't remember, Lazarus was the one he raised from the dead, right? He waited 4 days, and Jews believe after 4 days you were really dead. There was no coming back. You weren't going to ring a bell or anything like that. You know, you were dead. And so what did Jesus do right before the tomb? What did he do? before he raised him from the dead. What did he do? He wept. He cried. He cried. That's what friends do. When your friend dies, you cry. When they get married, you might cry then too. But I mean, you know, I mean, you depend on who they marry. But no, you rejoice when it's their birthday or their anniversary or when they have a grandchild or whatever. You rejoice with them. And when sad things happen to them, you cry. And that's what friends are. Now, Jesus had some special friends among the disciples. He had three disciples that he was especially close to: Peter, James, and John. Now, some find this very troubling, that Jesus would have favorites. But you have to remember something about Jesus, the most unique person that ever lived on this earth, right? He was totally human, totally divine. If he was totally human, it is human nature to like certain people a little bit more because you believe the same things or you whatever, you know. It's perfectly human. He would later on go on to redefine friendship as a resurrected Lord. He would. But now he did have these three special disciples. He took them to the Transfiguration Mountain where he changed his whole appearance, right? He did that. He spent special time with them. So I want to take a look at his friendship with Peter. People become friends because they are passionate about the same things. You too? I thought I was the only one who felt that way. You know, that's the beginning of friendship right there, right? You say something like that. You too? Huh? Right? You like to cook asparagus? I don't know. You know, I mean, something like that, right? You're wild about asparagus, aren't you? You know, and then you have that passion, right? And you're trading asparagus recipes. I don't have this written in my script here. It just came. God put asparagus in my mind. Jesus and Peter were both very passionate about one same thing. What was that? It was the Heavenly Father and His promise to send a Messiah. They were passionate about the same thing, and this drew them together. Now, Peter's brother was Andrew, who was a follower of John the Baptist, and Peter was probably too. When Andrew heard John the Baptist say, when he saw Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world," he immediately went to Peter, and what did he say? He said, "We have found the Messiah." That's all Peter needed. When Jesus came to Peter and said, "Come and follow me," Peter said, "Yep." And he left his fishing business, he left his home, he even left his family to follow Jesus. A friend sticks by you in adversity. A friend loves at all times and is a brother born for adversity. That's what friends are like. When you have tough times, here comes your friends, right? They stick by you. Jesus was that kind of a friend with Peter. When Jesus walked on water, remember that scene? Jesus walked on water. All the disciples were in the boat. Peter spies Jesus, and what does he say? "Hey, have me come out to you." You know, "I'd like to do that." He's thinking, right? And Jesus must have loved the spunk and the daring do of Peter. And he says, "Come." And Peter actually did it. Oh, I wish I was like Peter in that way. If I was on that boat, I wish I would have said, "Yes," like that, you know. In Alabama, they said that's only been repeated by Bear Bryant. You know, I mean, I heard that so often, you know. Yeah. Peter actually did it. We don't know for how long. Was it a minute? Was it 2 minutes? Was it 30 seconds? Wow, I don't know. But I think, wow, that was great. He said, come on. Talk about a friendship. Then disaster struck. When Peter looked around, he saw the waves. He realized he couldn't swim. He went down. He panicked. Lord, help me. Save me. That's exactly what his friend did. He saved him. Friends walk in when everyone else walks out. When the chips are down, there they are. That's what it means to be a friend. Do you have a friend like that? Do you have a friend who stood by you when other people had deserted you? I hope you have a friend like that. I really do. In the ministry here, I know of things that happen to people where people just say, can you believe he did that? I'm never having anything to do with him. That's not a friend. It's not a friend. Friends tell the truth to one another. Faithful are the words of a friend. There are many who will pretend to be your friend. They're fawning hypocrites. They're insidious flatterers. They give you a lot of bull, honeyed words, but they're not your friend. Most people drink in flattery. Don't you like to be flattered, right? Don't you like flatter? Tell me as you leave today, great sermon, Pastor. I will drink it in. I don't care if you're lying. I just like the way it sounds, the cadence of it, right? Right? People drink in flattery. But listen, if you really care about someone, if you really want the best for them, if you want to be a true blue friend, you have to shoot straight with them. And sometimes painful words are called for, and it'll be a pain for you to give them to your friend because you don't mean to hurt them. You just mean to shoot straight with them. You know, do you have a friend like that? You have a friend who can tell you the truth because they love you. You know, a lot of us don't have friends like that. Usually, you can count on your spouses sometimes, right? You look ridiculous, right? Why did you say what you did, you know? I mean, you hurt their feelings. How can you say such things? These are things I've heard. And I know my wife she's my friend, and I love her, and she loves me. And she's the one that can tell me this, you know. When you withhold an important truth, not some insignificant little carping or fault finding, you're really saying, when you can't give them the truth, what you're really saying is, I love myself way too much to go through telling you the truth and all the aggravation it's going to bring me. That's not the action of a friend. In the friendship between Peter and Jesus, there was a moment when Jesus had to say some hard words to Peter. Jesus had just told his disciples that he was going to be heading to Jerusalem to suffer and die. And Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. Never! This is never going to happen to you. And Jesus responded forthrightly to his friend with these words, "Get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of God. You have in mind the things of men." Right? You know that's got to hurt. It had to hurt Peter. You can see this pattern, can't you? Jesus was always faithful, loyal, constant friend. And Peter was not. Jesus is the ideal friend. Now, the ultimate in friendship, though, is that someone would give up their life for you. The cross is the single greatest symbol of friendship ever. Jesus gave up his life for all of us. That's the ultimate in friendship. The choice for Jesus was between a comfortable life and life itself versus a hideous death and a place in hell. In essence, it was put this way, Jesus, you're going to have to go to hell to save your friends. He saved his friends. And who would they be? Who would the friends of Jesus be? Jesus offers his friendship to anyone. Anyone who would believe in him. And if you're friends with Jesus, it is because he took the initiative. It's not because you said, well, I think I'm going to be a friend with Jesus. Like my friend Paul. You know, you're going to be my friend. No, Jesus comes to us. And if you're his friend, you will respond to him. And I'll tell you what, his commands are not going to seem like commands to you. They're going to seem like blessings to you. He's told me to be this way. Yeah, well, it's good. I want to be that way. He treats us in intimate ways, intimate terms, as if we're close associates. He calls us his friends because he's revealed the big plan, his whole purpose for coming to earth, what we commonly call the gospel. We're not his slaves the way we normally understand slaves. It's not for us, do as you're told, or the grand purpose of it all is beyond your understanding. No, Jesus takes us into his confidence. His confidence. Jesus chose us. And the friend of my friend is also my friend. Think about that. If you're friends with Jesus, then you're friends with other people who are friends with Jesus. Yeah. And so it dawned on me that Jesus has transformed the meaning of friendship. It also dawned on me because of Paul. Paul did become my friend. This man who said, you're going to be my friend. He wore me down. He helped me understand something about friendship. That friendship is best defined now for us who are Christians as a Jesus-inspired, Spirit-fueled love for people. Even people who are very different from each other. Because I want to tell you what Paul's like. Paul was a nerd. He was a scholar. He had so many idiosyncrasies, it would take me another 5 minutes to tell you all of them, right? And I was a hyper-cool, socially with it, a good enough scholar that I could talk to Paul and appeal to him, I guess. Paul was weird. And he went on to be a professor at a university, a Lutheran university, the same one that Ashley Myers went to. She knows Paul. And she would say, he's weird. He's still teaching. I don't think he's retired yet. We're the same age. But he's my friend, and we pass letters, Christmas time especially, and we learn about all the weird things he's doing. You're my friends, you fellow believers here at Grace. You're my friends, in the way Jesus defines friendship. But I'll tell you, because we're still human, Jesus, who's taken on that glorified body, right, is different than us. We're still human, so we have limitations, and they're time limitations. So I can't be with all of you the same amount of time. That's human limitation, and that's why friendship is still not what it's going to be. But when we get to heaven, we'll have eternity. We can be friends with millions, right? Millions. It's hard to understand. This is the way Jesus is. Now, Jesus has other people. He wants us to send friend invitations to on behalf of him. That's what he's given us as kind of a mission. I want you to give a friend invitation to come and meet the Savior, the ultimate friend that your heart yearns to know. So let's do it, because people need a friend, this kind of friend, more than they've ever realized. Jesus Christ, friend of sinners like you and me. In Jesus' name and to his glory. Amen.